If you need any evidence that environmental practices of the past can come back to haunt us, I have a four-letter word for you: lead. We once used the heavy and soft metal in many applications: gas for our cars, paint for our walls, and pipes for our plumbing. Lead pipes are rare now, but plumbing fixtures often contain small amounts of lead, just not small enough, it turns out. Tests for lead in schools all over Oregon keep turning up lead in amounts greater than allowed by federal standard. Two of the entities that tested and found lead at such levels are represented here today on The Exchange. From the Medford School District, two guests. Ron Havner is facilities manager. He joins us by phone. Welcome, Ron.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
And it's good to have you here. And Natalie Hurd is in the studio. She's a communications specialist with the district as well. Welcome, Natalie.
Thank you for having me.
From Southern Oregon University, we have facilities manager Drew Gilliland. Welcome back to The Exchange, Drew.
Hi, Jeff.
And Russell Dean is with us as well. He's the environmental health and safety manager. Thank you, Russell.
Thank you.
So let's start with Medford. And Ron, maybe you can start us off here. Why testing for lead was going on in the first place?
Sure. Well, we've been testing for the last 10 years or so. I think it's just, you know, part of us trying to make sure that the schools are, and the staff and students are, safe. It's just part of our checks and balances each year to ensure that we're providing them a safe environment for the education process. So it's nothing new. We just decided to increase it a little bit as awareness across the nation has kind of taken hold. We wanted to go ahead and retest every fixture that we knew people were likely to consume water out of. And so we kind of upped the number. But we've been spot checking for years.
So let me put this one to Natalie then. Was some of this spurred by the fact that the Portland School District had done extensive testing, and in fact it led to a series of events that ultimately led to the resignation of the superintendent?
I think the expansion of our testing this summer had something to do with that, and also, you know, the Department of Education came out with some guidance basically saying, you know, we recommend that all school districts test for lead as soon as possible. We, unlike many other school districts across the state and across the country, have been proactive in this and have an extensive testing procedure, spot testing at all of our schools every single year, like Ron said, for more than a decade. But this year we just took it to the next level, doing almost every single drinking fixture or a fixture used for consumption at every single school. So this is something that you'll see in Medford that you won't see in other school districts across the state, that we're testing, you know, between 50 and 100 fixtures at every single school.
Ron Havner, where is it showing up above action levels, or where has it shown up already above action levels?
Well, we've seen some schools have been totally good, and we've seen a couple of onesies and twosies across the other ones. The two that we saw at the most was at Jackson and Roosevelt.
Which is kind of strange, because I understand the piping is new from the remodel of just, what, 7 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. It was not something we were expecting. It's more or less a new facility, and so that's why we kind of were surprised at it. We had kind of strategically put them toward the end, anticipating that we wouldn't see a problem. But it still doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, to see systematic elevated levels across the board. So we really just needed to pause start peeling the layers back and try to figure out what's causing it.
So where does it appear to be coming from? Do you have that determination yet?
Well, I don't know. Our main focus right now is to just get it fixed. Hopefully in the process we can figure out where it's coming from. We found out on Friday night that we had elevated levels. On Saturday morning we had turned all those fixtures off, and we retested a couple of target areas and turned those in with a rush order. And what we saw was, even though that was 19 days later, we took our two highest test results at both of those schools and tested them the day after we found out they were high, and they were already back to more or less zero. And so we worked closely with the city, the Water Commission. We had them check their side. They went ahead and removed the meter. They tested extensively from there back to the main line. We checked with the lab to have them double-check their testing procedures. And then we went ahead and, as a precautionary measure, replaced some plumbing components that are early on in our plumbing profile. So our backflow devices, a gate valve, pressure-reducing valve, and a strainer. And then once we got the city's results back and they were cleared, we went ahead and retested. So we retested Jackson yesterday and Roosevelt this morning.
And have no results back from those yet?
Not yet. Hopefully this week sometime.
Okay, let's turn to the Southern Oregon University now, and let me ask Russell Dean what prompted the search on campus. Your mandate's a little different from a public school system, but you went ahead and did some testing anyway. What prompted that?
So our test was initiated, basically our vice president
they went through. And so after the Portland incident, all the university presidents got together and decided that it'd be a really good idea to be very proactive and ensure that we're in a safe environment. So we went through and tested all our buildings.
And what's been found so far?
So out of over 100 buildings that we've had about 5 elevated levels, and we've contributed to just basically solder or fixtures that have been just either not very well installed or just a particular decade of fixture design has been our problem.
So, Drew Gilliland, a facilities manager at Southern Oregon University, I mean, you work with this stuff on a regular basis. What kinds of things are going on in plumbing that can lead to lead in water?
You know, I think Russell hit it right at the nail on the head, and that is lead solder is no longer available. You can't get it. It's kind of been banned, for lack of a better term. However, it was a great product for soldering because it's soft and it allowed things to be put together in a tight environment and a good seal. But if you let that leak on the inside of your fixture, then obviously that's where the lead can come from. I think the other thing that we're finding is that if water sits for a long time and isn't run, when we would do testing, just like they found at the Medford School District, you'd get your initial test that might be a little high, but then you'd go back and test again and it would come out normal. And we know from the city of Ashland we're getting nice, clean water. So, you're proactive. And so the thing we're doing is changing those fixtures out. But it's still kind of interesting that, you'll get lead one testing and then not at the next.
Some of this, as you mentioned, if water's sitting in the pipes for a while, then so, I've heard many times if you run the water for a while, you can reduce the amount of lead that comes out of the pipe. But, I mean, how long are we talking about running?
You know, I don't have a straight answer for that because we haven't really done a water test where you test it and then you run it for 10 minutes. And then depending upon the size of the pipe and what else is on that line, there could be something setting down in it at some point, I suppose, upstream. So I don't have a real answer for that, but I do think that's a good practice, mm-hmm. Especially on old pipes. You'll turn the spigot on, it'll come out red because of the rust.
Right.
Kind of same theory.
Okay. The trouble, though, Natalie heard obviously is that kids in public schools are not going to run to the drinking fountain when they're thirsty and grab the first water that comes out.
Sure.
This is not a process you can really get kids used to. Run the water for 30 seconds before you drink, Sonny. It doesn't work like that.
Right. Right. This does bring up a good point though. We hear from a lot of parents. Why do you test in the summer? You know, why would you test when our kids are not there as opposed to testing and then fixing the problem during the school year? Well, the reason why we test in the summer is because we're going to get our worst test results. That is the best time to test, because it's going to give us the highest levels. And so we're going to, be ultra safe in knowing, okay, this is bad. If we test during the school year and those fixtures are being used a lot and people are drinking out of the drinking fountain, water is being run out of the sink, we might get lower levels. So that's one of the reasons why we test during the summer. But we try to tell parents, safety of your kids is our utmost priority. So we're going to do everything that we possibly can. But, if you feel uncomfortable, send your kid to school with a bottle of water, with filtered water. We will tell all of our teachers and our staff members this before the school year that, if they can run the fixtures for a little while, as far as, sinks are concerned, then to do so. But if it makes you feel more comfortable to send your kid to school with a bottle of water, do that. And at Roosevelt and Jackson right now, the water's still shut off. We've been bringing in bottled water since we discovered this issue, as soon as we discovered the issue on Friday.
There are summer programs at those two schools?
Mm-hmm. Yep, Kids Unlimited summer program. So that was complicated. And it's, it's concerning for parents. And we absolutely understand that. But we did bring in bottled water, and we'll continue to do so until we know for sure that the problem's fixed and we retest and the water test clear.
Lead in water, the topic on the table. Natalie Hurd is communications specialist with the Medford School District. Ron Havner is the facilities manager for the district. And from Southern Oregon University, we have Russell Dean, the environmental health and safety manager, and Drew Gilliland, the facilities manager. And we can add you to this discussion at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Rebecca in rural Lane County. Welcome to the exchange.
Hi. I wondered if the lead has been leaching consistently for all the years since it was originally put in there. I don't understand that piece of it.
All right. Is it likely to have come from whatever the source was from the beginning? Ron Havner, why don't you take that one?
Yeah, we have tested every year. We have 17 tests throughout the last 5 years that we've checked those schools, and every single one of them has come back with more or less nothing. So this is not something that's been going on for years, and it's probably, you know, as you heard earlier in the program, we also tested immediately as soon as we found out that it was high, and we saw zero again. So there's a degree of uncertainty, but we do have tests that show over the last 5 years that there was no sign of lead in the water.
The piping, specifically at the two newer schools, or the two schools with the newer plumbing, Jackson and Roosevelt, because they've been through extensive remodels from 2009 on, is that plastic piping? Is that copper? What are you using there?
Copper.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that's what's. Yeah. So would there be flux with lead in it from a school that new?
You know, it's possible, but I don't think it is. You know, I think that it's, you know, it's there's a lot of different variables. There's a lot of things that can contribute to it. As they mentioned earlier, it could be how long it sits. It could be the water chemistry, lack of activity. There's a lot of things that contribute to it, and you never know exactly what's going to make it start leaching and when. But overall, I mean, I think the years of seeing nothing and then the seeing nothing afterwards just kind of shows that it's probably not something that's throughout the whole system. It's probably a component or two somewhere along the line.
Okay, so looking back at, as you mentioned, going back to the line and looking for stuff that that might contribute. I haven't asked if there are any of the so-called lead pigtails that connect the schools to the Medford Water Commission mains.
No.
No.
No, the Medford Water Commission, you know, they worked very well with us. They removed the old meter. They put a lead-free meter in, and then they tested that water all the way back to the main. But no lead pigtails going to the schools.
Okay. Russell Dean at Southern Oregon University, have you checked out pretty much all the buildings on campus at this point?
Yes, we've done initial tests on all our buildings throughout campus, as well as apartments and our houses.
Okay, were there any anomalies like what the Medford School District found? I mean, because you have some newer buildings on campus. I mean, you have the whole new dormitory and dining complex. Did anything show up in the way of lead and fixtures there?
Not in our newer buildings. We haven't found anything that's actually in the newer construction that we've had or the newer remodels.
Mm-hmm. And so what are the mitigation plans from here? What fixtures are you going to replace or piping redo, anything like that?
So far, when we found something, we've obviously made it so it's not usable. So we've closed it off and marked it and then replaced it. On some things, we're actually still tracing down where our lead's coming from. And we've been able to find, you know, a small piece of copper that you could see that, oh, okay, it's been dripping lead when they installed it, so it wasn't back in, you know, probably 30 years ago when they installed it. It was obviously not a very good install.
Drew Gilliland, does this turn into something of a snipe hunt after a while, where you're looking for just one little joint that might have had a sloppy solder job on it?
Yes and no. I mean, what you find is trends, right? And so in our Ed Psych building, which was the first one we tested because we have children in there, we found it in the stop right down at where the fixture connects to the pipes. And so, you know, obviously that's kind of one of the things we started looking for in those as we opened up other water fountains, and a lot of them wasn't an issue. But when we found that particular model and fixture, we typically found the lead solder. So, yeah, it's you winnow and sift it down to where you think you need to go, and that's what we've been doing, and that's been a pretty successful strategy.
So as a result, then, do you end up, like, making an entire swap out of, like, you know, the Kohler 65J water fountain? I'm making this up as I go along, but you get the idea.
Well, yeah, and ironically, we've been putting filtered water bottle filters in all of our buildings as students like that, because they're all carrying around water bottles now, and those come with filters. So even if you're concerned, you know, we already have the filtered water, and it has a little count up at the top that says this many more bottles of you can go before you replace the filter. So, but no, I guess back to your question, Jeff, we haven't really found found any other issues except in those that pattern is, okay, that type of fixture, that error building, and then we have found it in those situations.
You potentially, I would think, have a whole lot more fixtures to deal with than the Medford School District, because you can have a water fountain every so often down a hallway, but you have all the dormitory rooms and the sinks and the showers. And
we did focus on buildings, past 19, Russell, what was it, 1980?
Well, we tested – our big was before 2000.
Yeah, 2000. So when you look at the new dorms, that's all PEX. That's all plastic and crimped. So we don't use solder in those locations, so that wasn't much of a concern, although we did test them anyway because we need to do that.
Okay, lead in water in schools, the topic here on The Exchange. We have folks from the Medford School District and from Southern Oregon University here with us. You can join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Russell, I did bring up showers just a moment ago. Is the major concern the drinking? Is it also to things like washing your face with the water that's got lead in it, or taking a shower in the water that might have lead in it?
No, the big thing is consumption. So, I mean, showers is not really something where you're actually going to ingest lead. So, because it's a metal, so it's not going to necessarily actually get through your outer layer of skin. So, basically, ingestion is the big thing. Is it potable water that you're drinking?
Ron Havner in the Medford School District, is there much talk of filtration devices? I noticed that Portland, for example, had installed some filters for its water fountains, but had installed the kinds of filters that don't filter lead.
Yeah, we certainly use the filters as well, and kind of along the lines that everybody else is talking about. We kind of work through, kind of an escalation of solutions, and we'll start with the fixture itself, and if that doesn't work, we'll look towards some of the valves. Inline valves and stuff like that, and if it's just something that's cost prohibitive or we can't figure it out, we just want to, get it back into operation as soon as possible safely. Then we'll look at putting filters on there, and we've seen a high degree of success with those filters. They knock it down very significantly for the most part. So yes, we do have a handful of filters as well.
Russell, you can echo that.
Yeah, the filtration systems that we've tested actually have been very successful in knocking the lead almost completely out.
Really, just not there at all then.
Yeah, it's almost non-traceable.
What kind of maintenance? First of all, what's the upfront cost, and what's the maintenance on those as you go through time?
I think Drew can actually pipe in on that one a lot better.
The filters themselves are only $30 to $40, and then it's just, I think the key is to make sure that you remember they're there and swap them out, because they do have a life to them, but they'll last 3 to 5 years, depending upon usage, even longer. So, it's just the maintenance of the hourly maintenance of the fellow and the woman and the, $45 for the filter, very, very inexpensive.
Since we were talking about consumption, it brings up the question of school cafeterias then, and what the issues are there. Ron, are you paying any particular attention, special attention in the Medford District to what's going on in the school kitchens?
We've tested all the kitchens as well, and any sink, like a kitchen food prep sink that they might be using for water, we've tested those. So.
All right, and same story at SOU, I imagine. Now, it seems like most of the dining facilities now are in buildings with the newer plastic piping.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the SOUs would be considered one of those on the edge, but that was tested, so we're good.
I noticed that copper is covered in the same rule by EPA. So, I mean, you're looking at copper at the same time as you're looking at lead. I'm only laughing because I'm getting a guide from Drew to ask Russell instead.
So the lab that we're using, which I'm assuming it's the same one, which is Nielsen, just defaults testing for copper too. And if we do get a high reading of copper, then we're actually tracing it down and seeing what's causing that issue. Normally, from what we've seen, it's very, very small areas that have caused it, and it's almost always fixture related.
All right, so SOU is about a month away from the full onslaught of students coming back to campus. Will campus be all put back together with no facilities blocked off by the time that students return?
Yeah, I don't think we'll have any fixtures not operating at that point. If it is, it would be one or two of a campus out of 100 buildings. So, right, I mean, yeah, we're good.
Okay.
We started 2 months ago, so we're There.
So for the Medford District, Natalie Hurd, what's going to be the situation when students return, which is actually in about 3 weeks now, it seems like?
Yeah, well, we have most of our schools are all, you know, back up online, back and running. Any fixtures that we needed to replace have been replaced. You know, the question mark right now is Jackson and Roosevelt. And so we're expecting to receive our test results back this week. And hopefully we can have those the water turned back on at those schools towards the end of this week or early next week. We will continue to communicate with parents about this, and if for some reason we still get high levels, then we will start school with bottled water.
Any rough estimate on the number of parents you've heard from over the summer, reading the stories about this and getting concerned?
You know, we've gotten some concern, some calls from concerned parents, but I'd say it's, you know, under a dozen. And most of the time, there's just confusion and there's some misinformation out there. And most of the time, you know, we can talk about what's really going on and it kind of calms their nerves. But we've been telling parents, you know, if your student is or your child is exhibiting some signs and symptoms that concern you, always call your doctor.
Has anybody gotten back to you and said they have seen signs and symptoms in their kids?
No.
Ron Havner, we have a question here that I'm not going to put on the air, but just asking about the cost of lead testing. I know that obviously in Southern Oregon there's Nielsen Labs that can take care of this. What do they charge for testing your water sample for lead?
Well, over the summer we tested about 1,000 some fixtures, and it came in around $10,000.
Okay, so $10 a pop.
Yeah.
All right. And so are you pretty confident things are going to be all put back together and you'll find the final source of the lead at Roosevelt and Jackson soon?
Well, we're hopeful. You know, I don't want to speculate or jump to conclusions. We'll leave that to the test results. But like Natalie said, one way or the other, the school will have a safe, adequate supply of water until we figure out exactly what's going on and it's been cleared.
Okay. And Russell, the same question I asked Natalie about any contact from anybody saying they think they may have felt some ill effects from lead from the water fixtures.
No, we actually haven't got any response back as far as any real concerns.
How, and I haven't asked how far over the actionable level any of these fixtures were.
For the most part that we found, it's been like right on the borderline. So that's in some cases, because we have residential as well as academic.
Mm-hmm.
And so our education academic buildings are at a one particular EPA limit, and our residentials are at another limit. So
interesting. Two tiers. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to explore that in a future broadcast.
Yeah.
I'm talking about lead in water here with folks from Southern Oregon University. That's Drew Gilliland and Russell Dean and Ron Havner and Natalie Hurd from the Medford School District. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Chair.
Okay.